Good morning, I'm Kaki Walton, checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners, Memphis College of Art, and the Orpheum Theater. The 18th annual Indie Memphis Film Festival is right around the corner. It's going to kick off Tuesday, November the 3rd, and run through Sunday, November the 8th. Weekend screenings at Malco Studio on the Square and Circuit Playhouse, and then weeknight screenings will be downtown next to the Orpheum Theater at their brand new Halloran Center. Ryan Watt is the new executive director of Indie Memphis. He joins me this morning, and he's brought with him a local filmmaker whose film will be premiering at the opening night gala. Sarah K. Larson is the co-producer and co-director with Joanne Self-Selvage of The Keepers. They're both with True Story Pictures, and that film will have its Memphis premiere opening night. Nice to have you both here. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do full disclosure. I can't lie to people and tell them that I didn't go to the opening. We're taping this. And so we're taping this on Wednesday. So tonight at the Rec Room, you're actually going to tell everybody the entire schedule.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to release all the films, and we have a big, what we call like a super cut trailer that's going to give a little bit of all of them that will be online as well. So by the time this airs, people should be able to see a glimpse of all the movies themselves.
So this means that since we're taping this and it's actually going to air Thursday, I get to find out before tonight what's going to happen, right?
Yes, exactly. You are the very first person in Memphis.
I love what I do for a living. Yeah. This is my favorite event of the year. I mean, I look forward to it every year because I'm a big movie freak. I just love it. And the festival this year, there have been a few changes that you've made. Let's talk about that a little bit. The number of days have expanded, but the venues have been reduced a little bit.
Yeah, and also, actually, the festival's a little bit longer than you mentioned at the beginning.
Really?
It's November 3rd through 10th.
Oh, through the 10th.
So yeah, it's a full 8 days, but through November 10th. And so we open on a Tuesday and we end on a Tuesday.
Okay, great.
And so, you know, the big difference is we've added the new Halloran Center next to the Orpheum downtown. Mm-hmm. And so, and we're still on Overton Square on the weekend where we've been for years. So the easy way for people to remember it is on the weeknights we're at Halloran. Mm-hmm. And on the weekend we're all over Overton Square. Three screens on the studio on the square, Circuit Playhouse, and the panels will be at Hadaloo Theater on the weekend.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. So as always, you're doing panels and workshops and that kind of thing for filmmakers.
Yeah, we have 8 panels scheduled, and two of those should be downtown. We're just still nailing down some filmmakers we hope can travel in for them.
Well, now normally we talk to you in October, but our calendar got super packed and booked real early. So we're coming to folks a little bit early to say, hey, the festival is a little over a month away, but it's time for you to go ahead and get your ticket packages. Because that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, so we have two different options for passes. And one advantage of having a pass this year is we have a new ticketing system online that allows you to reserve your seat for your movies. Mm. So in the past, you would show up and just hope there was enough room and you would get in. And now you log in and you actually select the movies you'd like, and it emails you a PDF with your ticket, or you could show it on your phone. I compare it to Grizzlies or Redbirds games, if people are familiar with buying tickets online. Mm-hmm. And so now you know for sure that you have a seat. And so that's a big improvement, we think, this year based on feedback.
Oh, absolutely. I think so, too. So you're showing about 120 films. This is features, documentaries, shorts, and just everything you always have done in the past.
Exactly. It's a little bit of everything. And we have a significant amount of local films this year.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, since you just mentioned
yes.
local films, let's talk to Sarah K. Larson about The Keepers, and you made this with Joanne Self-Selvage, True Story Pictures. What made you guys decide? I know that in the past, Joanne has done documentaries about different artists, and she's focused a lot on culture and some social justice things, too. What made you guys decide to put the spotlight on The Keepers at the Memphis Zoo?
Oh, that's a really good question. We get asked that quite a bit. It really started with just love for the zoo. And knowing that there were stories there, and I went to Joanne, and we were really trying to figure out how we could tell a story that people hadn't seen about the zoo. And we thought that it would be interesting to tell the story of the zoo from the point of view of the zookeepers, because they're the ones that you really don't see a lot of, and they're behind the scenes. And we really also just wanted to get behind the scenes.
Oops. I love it. How could we get behind the scenes to see the polar bear? I know.
That's exactly. We actually had that conversation.
I love it. So you got unprecedented access. Were you surprised by the access the zoo gave you?
We We were very surprised. Joanne, I wish she was here, loves to kind of brag that we were able to break every single section of their media policy because zoos are notorious for being really guarded with showing animals behind the scenes. And we were just so grateful that we were able to create a relationship with Chuck Brady and Jimmy Jalanek, and they gave us access. They were very brave.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, they're both great guys, so that's wonderful. Well, who do you focus on? You focus on four different zookeepers?
Essentially four. We kind of four different areas of the zoo, and then we also talk with a couple of retired zookeepers that I think Memphians will recognize. But we focus on a giraffe keeper or hoofstock, the herpetarium, a couple zookeepers there, and the big cats, and the penguins, penguin keeper.
Well, tell me what it is about them that they really, this is a deep, deep love. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever get rich being a zookeeper. Maybe it's like public radio. You'll never get rich doing that either. It's all about the love for animals, and that's what gets them to do this job. They're devoted.
That's exactly right. And we, you know, part of our description is that this tells, you know, it's a real Memphis story, but it has universal appeal because it tells the story of working a job because you love it. And, you know, universal stories about your relationship to animals and work, and people really identify with that. And they don't make a lot of money, and that's part of what the film is about.
Well, I was looking at a trailer for it. I went to the True Story Pictures website, mm-hmm. truestorypictures.org, if people want
to
go there.
That's correct, or seethekeepers.com.
Okay. And this one keeper said that a mother had their child with them, and they said, "Now you better go to college or you're going to end up doing that for a living." And they overheard them. Because it's grueling. I mean, you've got lots of messes to clean up. I mean, it's a lot of physical labor, too.
It's totally true. You don't think that you're going to go to college for 6 years so that you can pick up poo, as Aaron the penguin keeper says. So we found a lot of similarities between zookeepers and then filmmakers or creative people, because it's kind of the same thing. You work with crazy people and animals, and you don't make a lot of money.
Well, now, one of the main focuses as far as animals is concerned is Kofi. I don't know how much you want to give away, because we want people to come to the opening night showing of the keepers, but that's when it gets emotional. It gets bittersweet.
It does get bittersweet. I won't give too much away, but we really wanted to include a story that showed the complexities of the job. Our goal was to show complexity and not controversy, because just like any other job, you have to deal with just administrative decisions and just the realities of zookeeping.
Yeah.
And it isn't always, you know, you get to pet a polar bear, as we was disappointed to find out.
you didn't get to pet the polar bear.
No.
Well, what was one of the most exciting things for you that you couldn't believe that you had the opportunity to do this, as far as what some story that happened to you during the making of it?
We filmed for over a year, and truthfully, every time we'd go out, I'd be like, this is so cool. But I really, really enjoyed and remembered filming. There's a scene where Fred, the big cat keeper, shifts these tigers. He's shifting five tigers to feed them, and it's pretty insane. It was just Joanne and I filming that at the time, too, and the tigers are jumping probably 8 feet in the air.
Oh.
And we're like, is that locked? Are you sure? You know, but it was just so cool, and I couldn't believe that we got to be there and see the skill of the zookeeper and just how these amazing animals.
You got to see a Komodo dragon come out of its shell.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you for reminding. That was just incredible, too. Every moment was insane. We got to see Sarah in the herpetarium, Sarah and Lauren, dig up Komodo dragon eggs, which
oh,
is
man.
Well, so cool.
We're going to let people be surprised by
yes.
everything else in the film.
Save the rest.
But this is the opening night. When is this going to screen, Ryan?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because in addition to being the opening night, November 3rd, and that's a gala screening, meaning it includes a reception. So the reception kicks off at 5:30, sponsored by Pyramid Vodka. And then at 6:30 at the Halloran is the Keepers with, we expect many of the zookeepers, I assume, right, Sarah, okay, in
yes.
attendance for the Q&A and such?
They give a great Q&A.
Yeah, so you'll be able to talk to them and ask a lot of questions afterwards. But we've also, just based on demand, went ahead and added a second screening.
Oh.
And so it's going to be also Saturday early afternoon, approximately 1 o'clock, that the schedule's online, so that people that can't come on a weeknight have a Saturday afternoon to see the movie as well, and that's at Studio in the Square.
Okay, terrific. Well, let's talk about something else. Now, also screening on opening night, I can't wait to see this film because it's gotten a lot of buzz. It's called Tangerine, and there's one reason why this has had so much buzz. It's about what it was shot with.
Yeah, that's added to the buzz for sure. I mean, it's an edgy film in all ways. I mean, it involves trans sex workers on the streets of L.A. that the director met in person. These are real people that he built a story around. And the director's made a number of really incredible lower-budget films that have done really well. His name is Sean Baker. He's someone I've been following his career for years. So when I heard this movie came out at Sundance, I mean, the feedback was just amazing. And then when I saw it, I think about this movie on a daily basis. It's incredible. And after a few minutes, you won't even be thinking about the fact that it was shot on an iPhone. So it just shows where technology's come now, that a huge movie distributed by Magnolia Pictures could be shot on an iPhone. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about some other films, some other films that are on the lineup. Some very special screenings. One that I'm particularly looking forward to that got a lot of buzz, I believe, at Sundance, I know at the Toronto Film Festival, is Carol.
Oh, yes. At Cannes. Carol.
At Cannes.
Cannes was a big hit, Carol was, and it stars Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, forbidden love in the 1950s between these two ladies, and Rooney won the, I forgot the name of the award at Cannes for her performance.
Oh, wow.
And so that's going to be one of our higher profile screenings. We would like to show, you know, true lower budget indies and then show movies a month or so before Oscar season that you can't see otherwise. And one thing that makes that movie really special is the production designer that designed that 1950s look and feel will be there to present the movie. And we're showing that twice as well.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we feel really grateful she's coming and she's going to sit on a jury and be part of the festival.
Very neat. Oh, is Jason Sudeikis going to come talk about Tumble Down? Please, please.
I wish. You would not believe how many people have asked me that. Jason is very popular. People are excited about it. Yeah, that movie is great. That's Thursday night. We have a new sponsor this year, Starz Digital, so the Starz cable channel's digital arm. And so they've begun acquiring movies, and this is one of the movies they bought out of Tribeca that's not out yet. It doesn't even have a trailer yet.
I know, because I looked this morning. I couldn't find one.
Yeah, we have a scene from the film that we're posting. But anyway, so that's Thursday night, which used to be the opening night of the festival, and we're going to have a great after party at Ernestine Hazel's that night. And it starts about 8:30, so that's a perfect night to come downtown, get an early dinner, go see the movie, and if you're able to stay out late, it'll be a lot of fun.
But just real quickly, a little synopsis of this film. I think it's a neat premise.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many movies that relate to music, and a lot of them just kind of come to us, and we look for it as well. We want music to be integrated into the festival as much as possible. But it involves a widow of a up-and-coming musician that in the film is compared to Jeff Buckley, so that's certainly a Memphis connection right there.
Sure.
Someone that put out one album and was clearly had some brilliance and then dies in a tragic accident. I mean, we already know that when the movie starts, so it's not like I'm not giving anything away. But Jason Sudeikis plays a academic writing a biography and wants to talk to the widow. And she's very resistant, of course, and it's about him trying to get her to open up and show that he could tell her husband's story well.
Well, let's talk about some other highlights that maybe people were not included in the little preview reel that has been up on your website. Some things that people found out about last night that I'm going to find out first. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes, exactly. And our new preview reel, the new preview reel has it all. But I'll just kind of go in order because we mentioned opening night on Tuesday. We mentioned Tumble Down on Thursday. So right in between those on Wednesday night. Is a really great documentary night tying in Beale Street and the Mississippi River for two programs together in the same block. The documentary feature is called Barge, premiered at South by Southwest. It's a great film, just what it's like realistically to live and work on a barge for 30 days at a time, going down the Mississippi River as it strolls through Memphis and all these cities under the bridges. And it's really eye-opening because you see these barges every day, and it's hard to imagine what it's like, you know, cooking your food on them and sleeping and living, and it's hard work. But we paired it with the 25th anniversary of Robert Gordon's first short film, All Day and All Night, about Beale Street. that the Center for Southern Folklore produced. And so this will be the first time it's been seen on the big screen remastered. So you can see it on a grainy VHS before. But a former Memphian named Chris McKinley, who now lives in L.A., is an editor, and he offered to remaster the whole thing from its original film stock, redo the sound. And so it's really exciting, and Robert Gordon will be there for the Q&A. And so we just love tying in Beale Street and the river, and it'll be playing right off Beale, at the Halloran Center.
Okay, tell us some more.
Sure. So then, that leads us into the weekend. Friday night, one of our kind of higher profile screenings that we have mentioned is Whit Stillman coming for the 25th anniversary of Metropolitan.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be at Circuit Playhouse. A really fun movie playing after that that's been all over the country, just kind of a crowd pleaser, is called Raiders. And it's known as the greatest fan film of all time. Some kids from ages 11 to 17 in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, decide to reshoot Raiders of the Lost Ark as kids,
that's right, yeah.
Shot for shot. And then this video got out a decade ago and became a big hit. And so this movie's a documentary about them as adults coming back to shoot that one final scene they could never shoot with the airplane moving, on the tarmac. So that's a movie everyone loves. We're also going to show that one twice. You mentioned Carol. Another higher profile movie is called Brooklyn. It's another, I guess we're just going to show 1950s movies about an immigrant coming over from Ireland that has an interesting past. And so this is a big Fox Searchlight movie that won't be out for a month, and we'll have it at the festival.
And it's got the actress, I never know how to say her name.
I don't either. That's why I was hoping you wouldn't ask me. And there's also that actor whose name I forgot, who's awesome, who's Irish and in every movie.
You know, I'm not even going to try. Anyway, you'll know her face. She's been in a ton of things.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about ticket packages, because we need to wrap it up in just a little bit. People can go to IndieMemphis.com, because you're going to have the complete listing probably as of now when we're speaking.
Correct. This should all be online now.
It should all be online. There are different ticket levels that people can do.
Yeah, so there's three options. We used to have a lot more. We've tried to simplify. So you can just buy a ticket to one movie, mm-hmm. which is $10. If it happens to be one of those galas, it's $15, but you have free drinks and food, so it's well worth it. The second level, which I think is the greatest value, is a $100 festival pass, which is the same cost it's always been, even though we're twice as many days. So mm-hmm. you can get a lot of value out of that. That allows you to reserve those tickets for up to 12 movies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of movies, and the pass gets you into all the parties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And then we have a VIP pass for $250, which gives you priority seating. So you're the first ones to sit down for every movie and get comfortable. We have some exclusive VIP events, like a party at B.B. King's before the all-day and all-night screening, and some other things that you're invited to, and unlimited movies. If you feel you could see more than 12, then go for it. Get a VIP pass. And so those are the options. So you can go to IndieMemphis.com, and based on feedback, we think some of these are going to sell out. So don't wait till the night before.
That's right. Plan early, people in Memphis who aren't used to doing that. This is if you don't want to miss it, really, go ahead and use the new ticketing process they have so you're assured a seat. And again, that's IndieMemphis.com. The festival, 8 days, beginning Tuesday, November 3rd and running Tuesday, November the 10th. Weeknight screenings downtown at the new Halloran Center next door to the Orpheum Theater. Weekend screenings at Malco's Studio on the Square. Three screens there. And then also at the Circuit Playhouse. It's the 18th annual Indie Memphis Film Festival presented by Duncan Williams. So looking forward to this. And I want to thank the new executive director of Indie Memphis, Ryan Watt, for joining me this morning, along with the co-producer and director of The Keeper, Sarah K. Larson. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.